that's nice and mellow. Hey, welcome. The number here at station is 541-388-1110. So, yeah. So, I had a gentleman, and maybe we won't get into it too much today, but he sent me a bunch of information about the transportation utility fee. And I'm fully prepared to kind of jump into that a little bit, but maybe we'll wait until he can kind of walk us along. It was fairly meaty. And it's one of those things that, you know, that a lot of us as taxpaying citizens are kind of having an interesting exercise, if you will, trying to figure out how to get along with it. And a lot of the stuff, I guess what I would offer after this week, the couple of things that I've come to is that, you know, where we, you know, we live in civil society, and of course we're supposed to be completely polite and all of that sort of thing. And unfortunately, those things are being used to our disadvantage, and we're not speaking up. People are not speaking up, or not saying that, hey, you know, hey, that doesn't work for me. And so I think that the one tip that I would offer is pretty much any time that you see an acronym, you know, a couple of letter acronym for something that is more complex, and they want you to comfortably get accustomed to using that acronym, such as DEI. Okay, well, you know, DEI, what does that stand for? Well, go ahead and say what it stands for. It stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And if instead of just going, are you DEI compliant, it's like, no, are you diversity, equity, and inclusive compliant? That means now you kind of get the totality of it. It's like, wow, this thing's really big. And when that's being written into business policies and business procedures, it's really, really important. The one that really hit business and investment an awful lot was ESG. And so what is ESG? You know, that's the environmental, social, and corporate governance committee. And, you know, so that one is kind of one of those that where some people that, you know, may be familiar with it, because when you get your stock portfolio or your IRA report or whatever it is, it shows the level of compliance to the ESG on your stock portfolio. So in theory, by their compliance, that should be able to regulate how the investment would go into the different boxes. So it's, once again, it's an ability for the government and business to be able to get in and direct not only what companies you invest in, but what those companies do to be compliant, to maintain their good virtue in there. And now they realize that they're getting a little bit of pushback on that, because people are kind of starting to go, hey, this ESG stuff doesn't work for me. So now that we're calling it, pardon me, it took me a while. Now we're getting to a point where we're going to try to refer to all that as social responsibility. You know, does the company have their social responsibility? And so when you realize that all of these things are happening, and the two really big ones that kind of came out of Davos, and kind of the reason I'm a little bit about it today, were two. There was a lot of mention about the CBDC, like that was no big deal. As a matter of fact, you heard President Trump on the campaign tape. So as long as when I'm the president, there will not be a central digital currency. Well, that's what the CBDC is. It's central bank digital currency. In other words, a global digital currency where you wouldn't have your own money. There's things you saw in Canada where they can regulate where it can be used, how long it can be used, maybe even have an expiration date. Terrifying prospect. The other one is a piece of legislation that was put out this week in Florida to where you need to have a minimum age to be able to participate on the internet. And you have to be at least 16 years of age. Now, on one side, you go, gosh, there's a bunch of child predators out there. There's a, you know, pornography. There's a bunch of stuff that kids shouldn't be participating in. That's really a good idea. But no, what it means is that for you to register to be online, you have to register yourself and verify your age. So suddenly it becomes, you know, do you call that surveillance or do you call it behavioral science? And at which time, all of these things that the state is trying to impose starts to become more and more clear. And so you're going, okay, Fred, we're on a real estate show. Why are we talking about that? Well, what's happening in our real estate is that more and more, with more and more regulation, we're seeing, as I've shared with you numerous times, we're seeing more and more apartments being built and fewer single-family homes being built. We're seeing less and less opportunity for starter homes, for people to actually get a start and participate in the economy. And that's the thing that is actually creating a loss of hope for young people when they're trying to get started, to start their family, to start their lives together, and to create that American dream of owning their own home. There's now suddenly becoming so many obstacles placed in sort of this righteousness mentality by the state on all different levels. And I just think that it's really, really important, because it's very, very difficult to talk about the shortage of housing, particularly when we live in an area such as this, that we don't have any farmland that's producing crops. We don't have any standing timber that has timber rights. We don't have any mineral mining or any of that sort of thing that's going on. But yet we preserve a whole bunch of land out to the east and deliberately put our community into a state of scarcity. And then after we create that state of scarcity, start to increase all of these fees for development on top of it, which just makes it increasingly difficult for someone to keep prices in line and be able to create housing that's affordable, that is workforce housing. And it's easy to try to blame it on some of the minions down lower on the end, you know, blame it on the realtor, blame it on the builder, blame it on somebody at City Hall. But it's a bigger show than that. It's a bigger picture than that. And I just think that it's really, really important that we realize exactly what is happening before us, and particularly when it comes time to get in the voting booth, to vote for things that are, you know, pro-family, pro-business, pro-freedom, pro-liberty. And it's just one of those things that is just sort of silently being taken away, and then you're sort of guilted into submission. One other thing, I mean, yesterday was another one, our judicial process. You know, that's always sort of the backstop. Well, that's all right. You know, the judicial process will make it right. Well, on the local level, if you have a hearing and, you know, a hearings officer can say, well, that's all right, I can override the code. That basically means that they don't have to adhere to law. And then when you see the case that happened yesterday back in New York, here's a guy, he gets accused of something that, I don't know, it may have happened 9 or 10 years ago, and I don't know exactly where it happened, but I know that it happened and it didn't work, and I want $10 million because I was violated for it. But in my closing statement, I'll say, well, actually, I'd rather have $24 million. And then the judge awards $83 million. And it's like, and the person that was charged wasn't allowed to bring in testimony from any of his experts, wasn't allowed to play a television clip that was actually broadcast nationally in his defense. And that's okay. And there's people celebrating in the street. It's like, wow, if you were accused of something and never had the opportunity to defend yourself, that's one of the most basic premises in our country. So it's an interesting time. But what I would offer to each and every one of you, if you're concerned about your community and concerned about housing and concerned about the opportunity for, you know, people to get started and find some stability in their lives through their housing and do that sort of thing, offer some pushback, at least on the local level, to your council, and vote with your dollars, vote with your vote, and let them know about it. There we go. Fred's done ranting. So with all of that, what that does is that takes into all of those things that we've talked about, you know, the climate-friendly communities. What does that mean? What kind of, and it needs to be almost any time that you hear, and the first thing they'll do with that is make it an acronym so that it makes it easier to say. Another thing that I would offer you is whenever you use and want to discuss that topic, talk about it in full form. Don't use the acronym. It's really quite amazing. So when we get back, we're going to take a little bit of break. We'll get back. We'll talk about, there's some places around the country that are, you know, a good place to go for fixer-uppers because of this. You know, one of the things with interesting with real estate is it creates opportunity. You know, one man's floor is another man's ceiling. You know, when there's a scarcity of new construction, and new construction is really expensive, then all of a sudden it's pretty easy to look at a fixer that's kind of beat up and realize that, you know, I can do the improvements on that fixer and not price myself out of the market. So there's a couple of places around the country where that's going on right now, and it's pretty popular. If there's anything that you would like to talk about real estate related here, the number of the station is 541-388-1110. And I want to thank you for tuning in to Talk Real Estate with Fred Johnson here on FM News 100, 1110, KBND.